News Radio WJPF, Southern Illinois' number one for news and talk. I've invited Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints to join me this morning. Ted, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I want to start this with you kind of a different way. Ted, earlier in the week, I was speaking with a candidate running for office, and he point blank said during this program, while I was doing the interview, that Mike Madigan had been arrested. He had been indicted. Now, I had to stop him. I don't normally do that with guests to correct them while they're on the air, but there are some cases where I feel you've got to. It's one of the reasons why I invited you to join us this morning. Mike Madigan has not been indicted. He has not been arrested. But let's start this way, Ted. ComEd, on the other hand, does have its problem. What is ComEd accused of doing wrong first, and then let's move to Mike Madigan?
Well, ComEd has been accused of creating jobs, creating payroll, doing contracts, taking care of, in theory or in practice, taking care of Madigan's people. And they spent a lot of money to do that. And so they've been accused of giving these jobs to people that support Madigan in order for Madigan to make sure that certain laws are passed on behalf of ComEd. So effectively, it's they're doing Madigan favors, and Madigan is doing ComEd favors, via the legislation process.
All right. Now, Madigan was not named in the legal indictment. Now, I read this originally, I think, Chicago Sun-Times. Public official A, which they go on to say, is the Speaker of the House. So they don't use his name. Now, this is not an unfamiliar story, pay for play and jobs in Illinois. This is not an unfamiliar story. You know, it's interesting. I was reading some of your work on WirePoints, and you used the term legally corrupt system. And I think that was an interesting, we'll call it euphemism, more accurately a description, a legally corrupt way of doing things.
Yeah, I think here's what's important about this whole thing is that, and you're right, Madigan has not been implicated yet directly. Of course, he's totally implicated in the connections. The question is whether they can prove that to be illegal actions or what some might call in Illinois lobbying. But I think the more important thing, what I think is that the message that I want to send out is we shouldn't get complacent even if Madigan gets busted and steps down. And the reason why is because he, over 30-something years, has built, he and others, have built what I would term an amazing machine. It is a machine that knows how to garner money, garner laws, garner power. And it's a machine that, if Madigan is gone tomorrow, that machine is still there. And I call it a legally corrupt machine because they get away with everything, and it's done legally. It's impossible to stop. And the taxpayers have no power. The legislature and the Madigan's rules have all the power, and it's all legal and it all works. And yet, people are being people are being hosed in Illinois, and that's why many are leaving. For whatever reason, people are leaving in record numbers. And so, we need to understand that it's not just Madigan, but the machine that has to be deconstructed, and that's where the power of the people at some point has to come into play.
What was it? This following week, the Speaker of the House in Ohio indicted for very similar activities by the federal government.
Yeah, these guys, once they get into power, they know how to construct things. And the patronage system has been in play for a long time. Madigan started that patronage or learned about the patronage system under Father Daley, and he's made it perfect. And I think if you were to look at how they construct the rules and the laws and the infrastructure to protect themselves, it is when you talk about controlling the maps, controlling the judges, controlling the who votes on committees, what laws ever come to the floor, how laws are killed immediately. It's fascinating, actually.
It's interesting because I've had some people who've told me the House bills go to committee to die. The good House bills always die in committee. And I've heard that literally for the last 25 years, in particular from a couple of people who say, no, if it goes to committee, it's a great idea. That's where it'll die. Now, when you read ComEd's public statements about this, they recognize they have done something wrong. They're going to pay the $200 million fine. And when I read deeper into the public statements they've made, including published reports from the Associated Press, they talk about how we're going to stop this from happening in the future and seem to fall on their sword in many respects. And as I'm reading that, I can't help but wonder, I mean, it was like ComEd in the public statements admitted that they were an instigator of this, and I found that hard to believe. I mean, are they the instigator or the responder? And after their statements, they seem to admit that, you know, this is their fault. And some of the statements just seemed out of kilter.
Well, we have to remember that this is a two-way system, and it's been a two-way system for a long time, and this is how it works. And it's not just ComEd and the government, it's the unions and the government, it's the units of local government and Madigan and the system. So it's everybody's taking care of each other, and this is why it's so powerful. So in the case of ComEd, you know, you've got a situation where ComEd needs laws passed, and everybody knows that to get laws passed, you have to have Mike Madigan on your side, especially if they're big laws. And, you know, when we go back to these Madigan's rules, the House rules, the rules have been structured such that Madigan and Madigan only controls whether a bill will ever see the light of day. If he doesn't want it to go to the floor for a vote, he keeps it out. And that is unprecedented power in the country. I did a review of this a few years ago. It's unprecedented power in the country. And so, you know, ComEd knows that if they want a law passed, they're going to have to curry favor with Madigan. Madigan also knows that for him to get things his way, he needs to have his patronage jobs out there filled. They work together. I think it's just a hand-in-hand system. Everybody knows how it works. And if you want to play in Illinois, that's, you know, that's a pay-to-play.
I think the term you're looking for is quid pro quo, isn't it?
Quid pro quo, exactly.
Just one of our listeners texting that in this morning going, huh, I think we've heard that phrase before. There was one thing that I have found interesting, and I'm looking for it right now. Here it is. The Illinois GOP sent out a press release on Tuesday at 10:17 a.m., and I can't remember when I've seen the Illinois GOP send out a press release talking about a Democratic senator calling on Speaker Mike Madigan to resign immediately. And you know, and then there's the pressure on J.B. Pritzker as well. But, you know, when it comes to lawsuits, three people filed a lawsuit, class action lawsuit, against ComEd saying if you paid these monies, these bribe monies and these other things that did this, well, you made me suffer through a rate increase that I shouldn't have had to go through, so we want our money back. There are a number of these lawsuits that are kind of bouncing around, but I think when we're talking about Springfield right now, we're talking about ethics reform. Rauner talked about it. We didn't get downfield, obstruction. And here we can't get downfield on ethics reform, can't meet, can't get legislators in Springfield. Even the attempt to fix the system, close the barn door after the horses have got out, we can't even seem to do that.
Yeah, well, this is the problem. This is why I say that, you know, we have to be careful to not become complacent when Madigan is gone, because all the rules are still there. You know, that infrastructure he built is still there. And you can imagine whoever takes power next is going to say, wait a minute, I don't want to give up all these powers. I like not having term limits. I like being able to draw the map. I like the powers I have to keep the you know, what I call the legally corrupt system, these collective bargaining powers that are so in favor of the unions and against the people, the number of units of local government, which means there's lots of patronage out there, you know, the rights for the collective bargaining laws for the unions to strike and all that. There's an implicit power sharing between all those groups. And nobody's going to want to give that up. And I'm concerned, even if Republicans were to take power, you know, they'd like that control. So it's the big challenges for us as groups, and I think the lawsuits is one way to go. Is, you know, how to strip down all those powers with too many units of local government, too much collective bargaining power, you know, term limits, the maps, all those things. They're huge things that need to be changed.
Over 7,000, the most of any other state in the union, by the way, when it comes to it. When they say local forms of government, what we're talking about is taxing bodies, the ability for that government body to tax you. Here's the one that came in on the American Monument text line this morning, and they say any government job, et cetera, is all who you know if you're going to get it. Any highly qualified people are just overlooked. So we wonder why nothing is done right. This happens in Southern Illinois also. Follow the money. We got another one here, says, so when ComEd says they are paying the fine, Does that actually mean the customers of ComEd are going to pay the fine? It was stipulated in this, by the way, that they could not increase rates in ComEd to pay for the fine. How they control that and oversight on that is another thing altogether. When it comes to this issue, what's next? People have an expectation, but if the federal government was going to act on the Speaker of the House, wouldn't they have done it the same day that they announced ComEd?
Well, you would think so. You know, there's all kinds of rumors, and one extreme is saying they don't have enough on them. They're trying to create pressure, but they just don't have enough. And this is just, read the commentary, right? It's just the same old lobbying. They don't have them. Others are saying that the other extreme is, they're going to get him. They're trying to bring down more people with him. They're exerting pressure, and by going after this suit or this case, they're going to keep bringing down more people until they eventually get to Madigan. Of course, I have no idea where that stands, but there's certainly a lot of pressure, and the pressure is building. I think more so than ever against Madigan, and he runs some risk in the fact that it's not many. It's a couple senators and a couple state legislators have come out and said that he should resign. That's more than we've had in the past. Now it's still only four, but we'll have to see where that goes.
There's a second order of effect. The effect on the governor.
The effect on the governor. He gave $7 million to Madigan's campaigns or the funds before he came in. He of course hired a lot of people that was on Madigan's list of people that the governor should hire. Of course, that gets mixed up. There's a lot of people who've been in politics for a long time. So, how you start to pin things between the governor and Madigan, in a real sense, who knows? But the reality is that they're intertwined, interlinked. The whole system is interlinked, and the governor has his own problems too. I think in the end, the big thing that's coming up is the progressive tax, this tax that Pritzker wants. It gets really messy when you talk about more and more corruption. Why should we give more money to this corrupt government? And if Madigan is there to be in the way of that, Pritzker's going to get a little bothered by that. So I don't know how this all plays out.
You've been writing a number of articles on this subject, and some of them quite long, a lot of information included in them. You've been taxing and how things work in the state, or work, but maybe shouldn't because of how they work. What are you thinking is next? What are you looking for on the edge of the horizon when it comes to this story? And as a whole, Ted, before I let you go, ethics reform in Illinois, because they've set goals for themselves and none of them have been met.
No, I think anything that is an improvement for Illinois isn't happening now, and it's not going to happen now. Here's what has to happen. The whole country is watching Illinois. Of course, we're in this whole COVID mess, so it's messy for the country to understand what's happening in Illinois explicitly. But Illinois, under the 30-something years of Mike Madigan, is the laughingstock of the country. We're the worst in virtually every financial, economic, and governance metric you can find in the country. People know it. Harmon asked for the bailout request a few months ago, and now you've got this corruption scheme. The question is going to be, is the bond market and others going to give up on Illinois and stop funding its crime and corruption? And if that happens, then maybe we're going to get forced reforms of the kinds that we talked about at Wire Points. But as long as they can kind of keep the corruption going, they can keep funding it, it's going to keep going because it's a system that's too powerful. So for the average Joe and average Jane here in Illinois, what we have to hope for is that they don't get bailouts, that there's a reckoning between the financial markets, the economy, and the corruption. If we can get to that point, I think we can start to see change. I think we're getting closer and closer to it. It's just a question of how it plays out and how long it takes to get to the mess that the kind of the falling apart of the system we need to see in Illinois.